Managing board report, is that gonna be you, Lester?
I tried it. I tried to get on Zoom and we had a pre-fall city on that one.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I got the notice the day of the meeting, which turned out to be the 22nd instead of the 23rd. And I could hear them, but they couldn't hear me.
They couldn't hear you.
So I didn't get a whole lot out of it.
Okay, okay.
But according to the paperwork, it should be the 26th of this month.
Yes.
Is the time schedule the same on all meetings?
You have to ask Mary that because they're known for changing their times.
Because this last one was like 10:30 to 12.
They change it between winter and summer, and I like note the time when I see the agenda because I never know what the time is gonna be.
The meeting, the notice comes in.
Yeah, I just pulled it up today. I got Mary's today, so, or yesterday, so it is 10:30.
That's all.
I can forward that to you if you don't think you got it.
I haven't got, I brought this envelope and I looked at that, and it was like postmarked on the 15th of August, and I didn't get it till the 22nd.
You've been having problems.
That's from that.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't from you.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the best I can help you on.
You know how I hate to blame the post office because I, you know. My dad was a postmaster, so I really hate to blame the post office, but we have had some issues with that.
That became the problem.
I think what they do, I think maybe they've settled on the 10:30. I was telling Marcus that I attend those meetings infrequently, so I always have to check the agenda because they do tend to change them seasonally. And then I never know. So I usually just look.
I wound up having to get a hold of our key to finally get that Zoom to work.
Probably most of what's going on regionally is we are transitioning, the state is transitioning us to a new database. When I came on in 2013, they told me I wouldn't probably need to learn SAMS because we were transitioning to a new database in like 3 or 4 months. And then 2 months later, I went to a state meeting and where they were going to talk about the new database, and they announced that they'd scrapped the entire new database. So I learned SAMS, which is our, WellSky now. They've changed the name a couple of times, but that was our database for the last, now what, 11 years. And now they're moving to a new database again, which is good because the one we have is very outdated. So I'm sure that's most of it. That's kind of been occupying everybody's attention. We've got to do, we're doing some training on that. I've got to enter users in today, by the end of today, into the system, and then the training environment will be set up. And people can start getting in the training environment, looking that, and then all the ADRC trainings will start, and then the aging trainings will start. So yeah, it's kind of a, it'll make for an interesting fall. But what I've seen of it preliminary looks good. I mean, it's just a database. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. You ready for number 7, Lori?
Oh, sure. Sorry that you guys weren't ready when you got your packet. Karen wanted to get it out early, and I think she probably thought this was too thick to send. And I didn't realize it until it was too late. So how do you want to go through it? Do you want to just go, you want to go through by program, or do you just want to ask me any questions and throw them out there? However you would like to do it. The bottom line on this, as you can see right now, is we are at $673,507 for county tax levy. That is an increase. Ready?
Question. See, you pay rent, right? That's in the budget.
We do.
And I've seen that two or three different places in here. Mm-hmm. Whether it was under each different program that you had rent under it.
So we get, well, we put it in the rent line. Let's say we get some building charges for CSB, for utilities, and
City of Lancaster, We Energies, for Hawaiian Energy and.
Yeah, I
think
the electrical part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we put that in.
As I went through it.
Yep.
You sent me the thing and I did bring it up.
And we charge rent.
Is that true? I wouldn't.
Print it all.
We charge rent to the regional ADRC, so we charge back because they have good store. It's sort of a way of recouping the cost that we can get back, and then it's also, you know, some of it through the county is, you know, probably a little bit more. I don't know. I think I can't speak for the other departments within CSB. I think it's handled a little bit differently in all of them. But I think with our cost allocation, some of that then is taken off our cost allocation. Not taken off, but included in our cost allocation separately. So, did I say that right? Something like that.
Okay.
It's usually a line in the cost allocation and what we pay for some of those costs. So, it's part of that, but it's just charged separately.
And I just understand the rent here is to help maintain the building.
Mm-hmm. So last year's tax levy was $652,101. So we are up. I didn't do the math on it. Sorry.
Twenty some thousand.
Obviously, we've got budget, a lot of staff costs, and that's probably our highest costs are always staff. Nutrition is our. For those of you not as familiar, nutrition is our biggest budgets. ADRC would be our next budgets. And then down from there. So let me know. Do you want to go through it? Obviously, the committee expenses are just the ADRC committee. We do charge out regional committee and ADRC. So service management, if you go to page 2. Do you have an extra copy? No, I would just see a name on it.
What's that?
Do you want a copy of it?
Sure.
So service management is an aging program that we get through the Older Americans Act. We use it primarily for our administration monies. We do charge some of Nicole's time out there as well. For Title III, different things that, but most of it is charged for our admin costs. It can cover some home care expenses, some other home supportive expenses, but we waiver those out because we do cover those in other areas. So mostly it's to cover like our front desk, some of my time, some of Courtney's time, some of Nicole's time, that sort of thing.
That's a buyback.
That is sick leave buyback.
Okay.
Yeah.
No such thing as donuts.
Not at all. So that one is pretty straightforward. There isn't a whole lot in there, but mostly like our copying expenses, admin wages, that sort of thing. Supplies, office supplies. So if you don't have any questions on that, I'll just keep.
Some of your biggest raises is health insurance too.
Yeah, and we don't know exactly where that's not been finalized. So we budgeted 10%, I think. But yes, yeah, health insurance is definitely a big cost, and it never seems to go away. It's also what people look for when they want to get a job. So it's what the health insurance is. So it's important that we have it and have it good.
Yeah.
What is indirect company?
Indirect costs.
Yeah,
so okay. That's the cost allocation that I talked about. So the county does a cost allocation plan for some of the programs that have the ability to get reimbursed for cost allocation, and we do have that ability with our ADRC program, or probably used to have that ability. We're sort of, as our costs have gone up over the years, we're losing that ability, but so they charge us indirect costs. And that is also based on our old plan. That is not current yet, but I kind of budget that as a wash so that we don't really have to worry about that right now. And then if we are able to, if we're able to save in some of the grant monies that we've gotten, we can charge that. That kind of comes back to the county and doesn't, so it doesn't mean we have as much tax levy. Good question. All right. Sorry, I'm still not used to my new pages yet. I'm like trying to find all my lines here. Oh, there it is. I keep thinking I saw raw food here and I thought it was. All right. Anything? So congregate, anything on the congregate lines? Again, nutrition is our biggest expense. So we've got, you know, obviously wages. As you know, as I've said the last few years, our congregate and our home delivered are kind of always up in the air because we just don't know what's going to happen. Certainly since the pandemic, we've had a lot more home delivered. Our congregate was in decline before. Before the pandemic, but really declined during and since. However, with the addition of Platteville's meal site, we're seeing our numbers slowly increase there and our home delivered back off a little bit. With Courtney's, not your prioritization project, but with the meal prioritization project, we should see a little bit of decline in home delivered as well. And that's a good thing because we needed that to come down. But also, we also are seeing a decline in home delivery because the family care agencies are trending in a way of going away from us. So that tends to ebb and flow. And they try to use other resources. And then I think people complain and they get a lot of appeals and things like that. And then they come back to us. And it is what it is. So, but that also does affect our numbers. So, and obviously our biggest things in congregate meals are the meals, the food costs themselves, gas, and then the wages. So any questions on congregate? Congregate is simply all the in-person meals. Well, you didn't know that, Val, because you did that.
Yep, I know that one.
All right, no questions. I'm just going to keep moving ahead. But if you got something, just shout it out. Home delivered, again, same thing. Most of our costs are in wages and food. For those of you that we have vendors in Cassville, Platteville, University, Platteville does meals for us in Grant Regional. And then we have our own on-site kitchen. So the raw food costs are a lot of our on-site kitchen. And then the purchase meals are the vendor meals. And that will be coming up for bids again. Unfortunately, I feel like we just did that.
Yeah, we did it, yeah.
Lester, you were here the last time we did that, so it has been a little bit. But so I did figure in an increase in those purchase meals because I can't imagine them not going to go up. They tend to go up just with the contract that we have. So. Any questions on any of that? Guys are quiet.
When you want a permanent trade for home delivery, did that cut down a little bit on your cost for home deliveries?
Well, we've had those for a while. It definitely increased our costs when we went to disposable during the pandemic because they were really high. So yes, it does cut down on our costs. But again, those are expensive to replace, and eventually they do need to be replaced.
Well, if you get the patron to return them, helps.
Yes. We don't have a great deal with that, but they do, like anything else. If they get microwaved and things over time, they tend to
they return them unwashed.
I noticed when they started it, I just wondered if that did cut down on your cost compared to the disposable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh gosh, yes. Yes, disposable are are high priced. Those costs finally have come down.
Yes, since COVID.
Since COVID, but still. And the disposable, we don't like to use a lot with home delivered, because if somebody is having any like dementia problems or anything like that, they might forget that they can't put that in the microwave. And so, I mean, we do tend to put that on there. But again, it could be an issue.
Yeah, I fixed it.
So we don't want that.
Thank you. She sent a message.
Who did?
Sorry.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that could be a problem.
They are nicer.
Yeah. And actually, I think they keep the food nice. So, I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
They kept it warmer.
Yeah.
Well, they put the hot dog. Sometimes they're a little hot, get stabbed.
I know. Yeah. They are.
They deliver it.
Yeah, I've had that happen, pulling one out. It's hot. All right. Public awareness. I'm not sure, you know, I didn't name some of these categories. I'm not sure how it got public awareness, because it's really prevention programming.
Yeah.
So this is our prevention programming, and this is our biggest, it's our least amount of money, but it's our biggest thorn in my side some days. They're really pushing us to do more virtual programming, and we just don't have, we don't have an audience for it yet. So if you remember from last month when I put in the aging plan goals that maybe we would provide an on-site space for some of that virtual programming. So somebody who would like to take the class but isn't comfortable doing virtual programming from home, you know, with their own, because they've never done it, and they're, so they could come to our office and just have a little technical assistance, and we can get them on and get them set. That's why I wrote that in, because we just don't, we're not getting them for prevention programming. And everything the state tries to offer in terms of technical assistance is all online programming, which is great. It's what I would want, but it's not for our audience yet. It probably will be. I'm another 5 years down the road, I think we'll have much more.
Different generation is true.
Yeah.
I don't like
that. And then the other issue that we've got is, you know, Grant County's big, so you're not going to travel, you know, from Cuba City to Muscadet for something, and, you know, in the middle of it. So it's a little tricky.
Wouldn't that be where your libraries come into effect in your
places? Yeah, and that's why we are doing some of that. But it's just the problem, again, with the 3D, it has to be evidence-based as well, which requires a lot more. If you've got a volunteer doing it, oftentimes the evidence base requires two facilitators. Well, again, 11 years ago, when I came here, we had staff that were not as busy as they are, and they had time, and we actually had staff dedicated part-time to prevention programming. Those days are gone. You'll see reports today, but our staff are doing like 652 contacts. That's just our INA staff. That's not Courtney's stuff. So we don't have that, you know. And so they're like, well, you need to, you know, I can't dedicate staff time when it's $5,000. It's like, we just can't. So that's why Greene County still has, they have a staff person who is still somewhat dedicated. So we've just been collaborating with them as much as we can, in order to hopefully get some of this spent. But so far, our, I think I got three people on the Eat Smart, Move More, Way Less. I always say that wrong. I got three people. We had five slots, and I got three, but I haven't been able to get two more. So I'm hoping if we advertise the fact that if you're interested in this, we'll help you, you know, because I do think if people would come in and find out that it's not as scary or as, you know. But the thing is like your experience, if that's their first experience with Zoom, like you had at the regional meeting, if that's their first experience with a prevention program meeting, then they're going to be like, I'm not doing this because they immediately think it's on my end. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know, you know, and we've all had Zoom meetings that are, you know, we just had a state one last week where half of the people on the state Zoom meeting couldn't hear. So. Or that was Teams, I guess. But so
elderly people quite often don't have the technology.
Well, and that's the other thing.
I've got a girlfriend who should be doing audiobooks, but doesn't even have an iPad. And, you know, I mean, she can't see.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a.
And if you remember on the aging surveys we did, over almost half of the aging surveys we did, people didn't have access to internet. So, either by choice or because they can't get it or cost or whatever. So, there again, yeah, that's a big, you know.
Like you said, down the lane.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I think 10 years from now, it probably won't be near the issue that it is right now. So, and the state's very much aware of it. They know of it. And I'm like, I did the front page of our newsletter last month was literally, we're partnering with all these prevention partners. And here's all the programs that I listed, every single one of them. And I got one phone call. So it's a little, you know, I'm like, I probably put in a lot of time, but then I can't charge it out because I don't have any evidence base. So that's kind of frustrating. So it is, you know, we'll just keep working at it and eventually we'll land on something, but
hopefully we get better internet service.
I don't know about you, but my phones are getting worse. I have more spots where I can't get cell phone coverage than ever before.
TDS and get that fiber optic to the house.
I do have the fiber optic and it is nice. I did get that.
I got it to the end of my driveway, but I ain't got it to the house.
Right in the right direction.
All right. So if there are no questions on that, we'll move on. Benefit specialist, that is simply our elder benefit specialist, not our disability benefit specialist. Our disability benefit specialist is in the ADRC budget. So our elder benefit specialist has always come through the aging side of things. So they do have a separate, she does have a separate budget. So, and again, hers is pretty straightforward. It's just pretty much wages, insurance, and any training expenses that she'd have. And then we bill out a little bit of the rent for her as well. So that one's pretty easy. Department of Transportation, that the first DOT one is just the trust fund, so I don't budget anything in there because that's not something that I do, because that's just what money, if we've got money in the trust fund, that has to be approved by DOT to be spent. So first one would be the bus that comes out of our 8521 money, and that does have a 20% co-match. So that has to be budgeted in as well. And again, that's just pretty much salaries and fuel and supplies. Danny's done a really good job of getting our bus ridership increased. He's chatty when he goes to Walmart and talks to people, and he's gotten quite a few. And we've gotten some from some different areas. I think we've got a couple over by, is it Bagley or Bloomington?
Bagley. I think it's Bagley.
We're trying to get some of those people that are in those kind of outlying areas that can't get to places. And he's done a really good job of getting them on board. So I'm happy about that. Any questions on that? Okay, the specialized transport, again, a name that doesn't really fit. It's our wheelchair van. So this is the wheelchair van. Not the taxi, but the wheelchair van that we use for like special trips for people that need wheelchair transport. Maybe you need to get somebody to a funeral or a wedding, or we do a lot of some end of life trips where somebody just wants to visit the farm one more time, or they want to. And we've had an interesting, Mariah was telling me a story. I shouldn't tell stories, but I will because this is kind of heartwarming. But we've had a few end-of-life trips for a person who enjoyed the first one so much and wasn't doing that well, but then he enjoyed that trip so much he's taken like two more. So I think that's kind of cool. I mean, how nice is that? That just sort of, you know, kept him going. So I just think that's really nice. That's what we're all about. So it's nice that the service is available to them, and we have that. So yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. Taxi operates in Lancaster a couple of days a week, and then Basketball Fenimore split days on 2 days a week. So it runs 4 days a week right now. And that That is funded out of our 8521 monies and then also our 5311. So we split the cost of that. And again, that's pretty much just wages and fuel and a little bit of supplies. And then the TRIPS program is our volunteer driver program. So mostly the expenses in there are reimbursement for Mariah's time in scheduling those rides, because it's pretty time consuming, it takes up most of her time. And then the reimbursement to drivers would be the other portion of that. Questions on that? I'm just going to keep moving ahead. Our family caregiver program. This funds our NFCSP, which is the National Family Caregiver Support Program. The intent of that is to provide respite, mostly respite for people. We can provide some other stuff, as we talked about, some of that adaptive equipment or making adaptations to homes, that sort of thing. We charge Nicole's time to this for case management, INA services, and any other direct things she does in that training. We do a caregiver conference in the fall, so some of that is charged to that. The contracted services in that are where you would find the respite. So again, that's and that has gone up significantly. They changed the kind of intent of that program a few years ago. And so it's much more focused on respite, and we're supposed to provide more money in the respite. They kind of took out some of our staff wages out of it. The next one is the Alzheimer's Family Caregiver Program. This one is for people with a dementia diagnosis. And it is a little, the eligibility guidelines are different than the NFCSP, so they are eligible up to $4,000 per household that gets into that. So again, most of the money from that is wages for Nicole and contracted services. And again, we have a certain percentage of services that it needs to be respite, so that is where the majority of that money does go. All right. Moving along. ADRC would be our last one. Well, I do have Elderfest in there, but we've sort of started moving the Elderfest. Are you still putting revenue in Elderfest? I'm putting revenue in there, but we're charging all of that out of ADRC. So, because ADRC is charged with outreach. So ADRC is the actual ADRC program. While we're called the ADRC and everything is ADRC, the actual ADRC program is this budget here, and that funds the ADRC supervisor, the INAs. Courtney has some time in there for admin time. I have some time in there for admin, and then our front desk has admin time in there.
And Kristen, sorry.
Thank you very much. And our DBS, our disability benefits specialist, time in there again. So that's, you know, pretty much wages, benefits, that sort of thing, mileage. They are required to visit people in person, so you will see mileage. And that has obviously been increasing. Again, that's kind of the downside of the larger county, is they spend a lot more windshield time. So, and this is one area that we have over the years been able to recoup some of those indirect costs. So I should point out on the, I don't know what the CO stands for, but it says furniture equipment. There's 9,000 in there, and that's to replace laptops. So, any questions on any of that?
CO is capital outlay.
Oh, is that what it is? Thank you. I have clearly not had enough coffee today because I am not feeling too sharp. So the health insurance still needs to be resolved, and then the cost allocation plan. But as I said before, the cost allocation plan, I usually just budget as a watch. So if we if it we get the money out of it, it's great, but I don't like absolutely count on it. And then the capital outlay would also be something that will be determined whether we'll get all of that or not by probably Nate and Bob, I'm assuming, something like that. Not sure quite how this is all going to work going forward. we'll figure it out. And then the health insurance, we're still expecting back at some point. So, but I think that will probably get just in the system once it is. So I can say that. I think that often happens between when this committee approves it and when it goes to the board, that you never usually have those expenses till about May, September, 1st of October. So any questions?
Motion to approve that?
Yes.
A PN. A motion to approve the 2025 budget.
Budget as presented on the full county board.
And second. Okay, all in favor of the budget, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, number 8, fill food van driver vacancy.
These are making my life so easy today. Didn't even question anything, maybe. All right. Jerry Staskel is our food van driver in Boscobel, and he's let us know that he'd really like to be done by the end of October. He will stay on as a sub course if needed. I tried to sway him with the fact that we were going to have a new vehicle there, but he didn't seem to sway so much. So I did start advertising it. I think it'll be out today. I got Gary's approval to advertise it, so I just need full board approval in order to fill it.
I think it went out yesterday.
Yeah.
I need a motion then to.
I didn't know if it was.
Oh. To fill that vacancy?
I made a motion to fill the vacancy.
Sorry.
Okay, and motion made and second to fill the food van driver vacancy. All in favor say aye.
Let's hope we can. So those Boscobel area people like Gary and Val down in that area, if you know anybody, it's just a couple, you know, it's like an hour and a half every day.
I did talk to one fella. I thought might want them, but said he hates me tying up every day.
I got a guy that says
do they get reimbursed a little for that?
Yes. Where's my I want to say it's.
I think the hourly wage is $17.51, I believe,
for this year. But that'll go up.
But that'll go up. Yes.
Like 7%. So mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not bad. It's yeah. And it's like 9:30 to 11. So yeah. If you know anybody, just send them our way because. And the other thing is we would consider. We are seeing this happen a lot where people don't want to commit 5 days a week. We've seen it in our meal sites, so we are willing to split a position if we need in order to, like, that seems to be working well in our meal sites and doesn't require us to have a sub as nearly as much. So we have a couple that, and then they work it out between them what days they
work. I was talking to Joe Welch, used to work at Krogan's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
So he seems to be around a lot.
Okay. So. Well, I'm also looking for a taxi driver sub, so he's got a good driving order, which he's been driving.
Do they need a certain license or just a
regular? No, they do not need a certain license at all. Just a regular license with a good driving record is required. So they would be driving our vehicle, our van, the new one. And like I said, they're just picking up food in Boscobel, dropping it off in bulk to Muscadet. And then they stop back in Blue River and deliver some home delivered meals. And right now we only have a couple of those. And they do need to be able to lift though, because
right.
When I do it, I have to bring Kirk along with me because I can't lift the containers. But Courtney can because she's a lot stronger than me. But
Joe works in wood a lot, so I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm not very. So yeah. If you know of anybody, just have them fill out a nap because we do have substitute taxi driver, you know, that we always need down in that area too. So there are some other avenues that we could put them into. The taxi driver would, I mean, the taxi driver would require drug screening, but other than that, yeah, we are certainly willing to work out if we've got somebody who's only interested a few days. If we get a couple that were willing to split it, I think we would do that as well. And we do cancel if the weather is completely bad, so it's not like you're driving on horrible roads. So, okay. Perfect. All right, approval of vouchers.
Just handed those out. Sorry, just realized those didn't come out either.
All right, well, we'll be checking those sooner.
I got a question.
Yeah.
On page 2. Towards the bottom, Lancaster meal site, buckets for steam table.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, so the steam table wells have to be drained usually once a week or every couple of weeks at least, and then new water put in. So we didn't have any buckets underneath. They had cracked or been damaged. So she had to buy just some plastic buckets to drain the steam table.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. That's not how we can drain it down
or drain it. Not with the steam table, no. Oh, okay. That's just on the carpet. We don't want to make a mess there.
Anything else? Again, the blacked out are just so we don't have caregivers identified and used.
And that was actually my problem. I couldn't get it blacked out.
How did you? Oh, because that was your problem.
That was my problem with the PDF.
I was having trouble with PDFs on that.
Yes.
On page 4, the bottom line, they found a hotel somewhere for only 192 cents.
Where was that at?
That's on the bottom.
Yeah, page. I know. But yeah. Your so...
I have a pretty good trip designer. I can find all the good deals.
The trouble is, do you have to book ahead?
Yeah.
Because I do book ahead when we walk in.
Sadly enough, that was probably a better rate because and there's no ability. Yes, there are. Any questions on vouchers?
No further questions. I entertain a motion to approve the vouchers.
Second.
Motion made and second to the vouchers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Financial report.
All right. Well, we are looking pretty good on finances, I think. I didn't see anything that looked a little high other than service management. And that's only slightly. And that's probably because of all the things, it's probably my time, because we've had so much with SharePoint, or with SharePoint, PeerPlace, and some different things that I've probably been charging a little more. Plus, I'm doing some of the aging data, and that takes up time too, so doing some of those water claims and all of that. So that's probably, while that's off a little bit, but that shouldn't be a problem. So I think everything else... Again, it's looking pretty good. Our congregate's down a little bit. Again, that split for congregate and home delivered is just going to have, hopefully it resolves itself at some point. But I kind of call it a win if I can get the expenses for both programs at a good place. So other than that, everything else I think is in line with where we should be. I think we should be really close to what about 63%, I think is what I figured. So if I don't think we have anything. We don't have all our revenue in yet, though I will point out, we just are starting to get our DOT 5311 revenue, and our GORD claims tend to be...
I think I just got May's.
Yeah.
So we're a few months behind.
So if you're looking at revenues. We just have to be patient. They're coming, but they take a while. So, any questions on any of this?
Questions? I entertain a motion to approve or report. Motion. Second.
I'll second.
Motion made and second. Report. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, report, Lori.
All righty. At least I can find them. All right. We got my list of birthdays. So, again, things are just kind of crazy right now with everything going on. We have been extremely busy. Obviously, we're doing the budget. We've been trying to get the aging plan ready to go. I was going to include that on this agenda and decided against it because I thought we had enough to get today. So that will be coming back to you next month. I'm finishing up the 22-24 aging plan. I have a meeting with the state next week on that. We ended up okay on that, I think. So probably fill you in on that next month too. Again, we are gearing up for Elderfest. We are collaborating with the health department and Southwest CAP. They both have some vaccine incentives. So we're going to have a long line again. I've asked the health department to start earlier. They've agreed to it. So hopefully that will help. I don't know that we're going to necessarily advertise that we're starting earlier because I think there'll be plenty of supplies. But we're hoping that the ones that show up early can just slide in and we can work that out. So see what happens. Part D is starting up because, why not start a new database in the middle of Part D season when we're already crazy and busy and everything. So that's going to be fun. But we have started taking some names down for appointments. Most of those appointments anymore are done over the phone, by email or mail. Emily has found it's much more efficient. We take certain ones in the office if they have hearing difficulties and things like that and need that in the office. But we can be much more efficient and get a lot more people served if they can get the plan or the drug, their drugs to her and then she does the plans and then goes over them. So she's got a pretty good system down with that. We are hearing from a few insurance agencies because I think they've lost their incentive for doing Part D. So one of them called her the other day and said, we're going to have an influx of people. And so we better add on more staff. And I'm like, yeah, that's not the way it's going to work. That would be nice, but not only could I not train anybody in that in a couple of weeks, but yeah, there's no money to do that. So hopefully people will be able to get on. Again, it's going to be one of those things that Plan Finder in probably 10 more years will be much more easier for people to navigate. But until that time, we have still a segment of the population that is going to find that difficult. They don't make it, super understandable for people. So we had the bus at the car show, so that was nice. I got to be out there for a little bit and visit with some people, and that was fun. And Dan got to talk to a few people. He got a few people interested in maybe riding the bus. We've got some regional training coming up the end of next week. And we've already talked about the database. And then DOT decided they also will be transitioning to a new database. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I was very excited over that. Mind over matter is on here. And then our ARPA funding, which this was good news for us, not necessarily for prevention, but for caregiving has been extended to 2025. So we don't have to spend that out like we thought we were going to this year. So we'll have some of that to carry over into 2025, which is good. I am in the process of getting the public hearing scheduled. I'm 99.9% sure it'll be October 10th. We have to do a public hearing for 8521 and for aging, for the aging plan. So I'm going to combine them. We are going to do two. We'll do one here at 10 o'clock, and then we'll also Zoom that one. Mm-hmm. And then do one at 3. Is that what I have on there? I'll have her email that out to you, too. 3 o'clock in Boscoville at the Tuckley Center in Boscoville. That one I'm not going to Zoom. We're only going to Zoom the one. We don't tend to get a ton of people on that, so we'll Zoom the one. And then they can also, if you know of people that might want to send some comments, they can send comments into us too. They don't necessarily have to attend in person. They can just send in comments they don't have. So we will have that scheduled. I think that's about it for that. If you look at the program report, you can see things have been busy. EBS cases are jumping up. DBS cases have luckily come down a little bit. They tend to go up, though, as the year progresses or starts over again. So they're still, believe it or not, 69 is a little more of the average caseload in the state, and we very rarely see that. So we're getting a little bit more, keeping those numbers down. I've been having to budget or schedule out a little bit more. Because when they get into the 80s and the 90s, her program attorney consultant gets a little nervous about that. They don't like those kind of high numbers. I did have meetings with both elder benefit specialists and disability benefit specialists, program attorneys, and both got wonderful reviews from their program attorneys. So that was nice to hear. And then if you want to flip over to the program report, we don't have August in here yet, but July, as you can see, June and July have already, all contacts are in the 600s. They're a good 100 over the other counties at least. I think August was 652 or 672 maybe. It was a lot. They're feeling that pretty pretty good. And then transportation. Again, our trip numbers are staying pretty consistent. Our bus numbers have been looking pretty good, and our taxi numbers are up a little bit too. So, any questions on the reports or anything you want to ask me? All right, well, that's all I've got. Nobody has any questions. Nope, we don't need approval on the reports. I don't think I usually have them.
No.
I feel like I haven't done nearly enough coffee today. Not feeling 100%.
I like watching their journal. I need watching their journal. Second.
Okay.
Want to leave a second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
How many cars would you say were in the